That's JC.
That's JC, yeah.
No, we need to get Jerry and Yoko.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We're getting pretty good.
Okay. Okay, everybody ready? Good morning, everyone. Glad you could be with us here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And welcome to all our Facebook crowd out there. Glad you could be with us. And let's start our service off this morning with number 426, Victory in Jesus. 427.
Story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sins and won. Of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory.
Glory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Good morning, church. Good to see each of you today. Hope you've had a good week, and hope you have a good year. Some of you haven't spoken to about a new year, but we are in a new year, and new things, events going on in the world, in our country, in our homes, our families. And Brother Brian speaks sometimes about, if things have returned to normal or when that's going to be or if it's ever going to be. I don't know what the normal is anymore. The normal is abnormal. So it's good to see you. Glad you're here today. Have a few announcements to make. We'll have a deacon's meeting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in the pastor's office. Also, Miss Tammy wanted me to announce about the drive-through for the Easter Sunday. So,
amen.
Easter Sunday drive-through program, March 27th/28th, two nights, 5 to 7. And we need everyone to participate, be prepared to ask or to ask to play a role in this, whatever you can do or whatever Miss Tammy needs. So contact Tammy Bledsoe and get your role, whatever it's going to be. So remember that, 27th and 28th of March. That sounds like a long time off, but you know as well as I how fast time goes by. It seems like a week ago we had Christmas, and it's been a month ago. So I say this often. I have no proof of it, but I think time has been sped up. You know, in the Bible, God made the sun stand still. He made a donkey talk. And I think he can make time move on. You know, the Bible says a day to him is 1,000 years is a day to him. A day to him is 1,000 years. Time doesn't, God don't measure time.
That's right.
He don't have a watch to go by. We do know has a time for the returning of our Savior because he teaches that in the New Testament. So just pray and stay earnest in your Bible study and in your coming to church and witness to other people and inviting them to come. And I talked with a guy at car wash day before yesterday, a guy I had in coaching football and in school. I asked him if he was in church, and he said no. So I invited him to church inside, wearing his mask, or I said, you could come outside. If you're not comfortable coming in right now, I'd just like to see you in church. Mm-hmm. You could come outside and sit in the parking lot and hear the sermon. And just the same thing as being in here as far as listening to the word. And he said, well, I might just surprise you. I said, well, it's not going to be a surprise because I've invited you to come. And that's on you if you want to come or not. But just continue to encourage people around you and our church family as well. So with that said, and do I have any other announcements that need to be made?
No, that I know.
Okay. With that said, let's join in prayer this morning, thanking the Lord for this day and for what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us.
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you that you've loved us another week since we've been together as a body. We thank you, Lord, for our church family, some that can't be here that have to be on Facebook or some that have to be in the parking lot because of compromising their health. And we just pray that you be with each one in a special way this day with our pastor as he stands and teaches your word. And we just pray, Lord, for the needs of our country, our nation, our new president. Lord, we just ask you to be with our country and lift us up and give us some, as Pastor says, some sensibility. If there's any sensibility in the world, we need it now. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and even making us eligible, Jesus, to pray to the Father, whom all things come. And we just thank you for it. We thank you again for our family, our church family, the needs of each one. We just pray that you continue to contact your deacons if you have needs or need to have something done even in your household. But we won't know unless you tell us. But Father, we just ask you to be with us and thank you for loving us another day and being our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord, day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Hope everybody here believes that, and everybody that's listening. It's going to be pretty soon that the Lord's going to come back. And with that, we're going to sing number 192, which is soon and very soon. 192.
Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there. See the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
Brother Ken, and like I said, all of you, you're singing so good this morning. I pray that it's ringing out in heaven as it is down here. This morning, once again, we'll be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Specifically today, we'll be looking at verse 14. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be basically a continuance of last Sunday morning's message, A Consuming Fire. Except today it would be a consuming fire stoking the coals. Stoking the coals. And I do just want us to slow down for a minute and recognize that right now we have the privilege of being able to gather together and to allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to speak to us in a way that He's never spoken to us before. And I pray that today we'll be affected and we'll leave differently than we were when we came in. But I just want to acknowledge that the devil's already been fighting, trying to distract from this morning's service as you're turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I know that some's had very restless nights sleeping. Others, this morning, we've had one of our leaders that was called by a neighbor thinking that their spouse had passed away. But thank God it looks like a heart attack more than that. Also, be praying for Brother Johnny and Sister Rowena. Her heart's out of rhythm. You know, she deals with that, and had taken her to the ER to check on that. And then also a precious lady, I can't remember her name, she stays up here at the hotel. You know, she's walked up and she comes here with us. She cut her hand real bad this morning, and Sister Amy, my wife, and Miss Vicky have took her to convenient care to try to get took care of. And so if that's what's happened in my life and the leadership of the church's life this morning, I'm sure that somehow, some way, even probably as I speak right now, the devil and the flesh are doing its best to rob of any word of God and any fruit that word may produce. So today, will you just join with me? Number one, confessing our sins. Number one, that we are sinners and we are in need of our Savior today. Two, Holy Spirit, I want you to speak to me, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to focus on you. Will that be your heart's prayer today? I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me in honor of God's word. I do want to remind you of this. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Chronicles 7:14. Read it with me if you would this morning, okay? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. A consuming fire stoking the coals. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it is good. As we read over in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'll just be honest with you, Lord, this is the highlight of my week. God, this is what I find most enjoyable. It's what I find fulfilling. And that's being with the brothers and sisters in Christ in worship and study of God's Word. And so, Lord, I pray today that You find glory in that. I pray, Holy Spirit, again, forgive me of my sins. Holy Spirit, breathe through this place. We ask You to take of God, to take of Christ Jesus, and teach it to us today that we may better live for You. God, our country needs You. But more importantly than that, Lord, today, I need You. And Lord, I need You to start a revival in me. I need You to change me. And then, Heavenly Father, Lord, may You bring revival and awakening to our country. But in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Amen and amen. And I want you to know that not only does Jesus love you, I want you to know that me, Brian Gunner, pastor of Thomas Village, I love every one of you. And I'm really thankful for the effort you make to be a part of us. I know if you're in-house with us, it's not easy to keep your mask on for that amount of time, especially when you have a long-winded preacher. And so I appreciate you working with me on that. Also, those of you that are out in the parking lot, those of you that's watching on Facebook, there's many others you could watch. And for some reason, God's got you here, and we are thankful for that. But today, I want us to kindly wrap up what we began with. This is probably one of the most well-known scriptures, and it's been preached a million upon a million times. But many people disagree on whether the promise that we find in that, the healing of the nation, is that to America, or is it specifically just to Christians, or is it specifically just to the nation of Israel? And again, as pastor, I feel for us to understand that by looking at this passage of Scripture, we'll see the nature of God, the nature of man, and then we're going to see the fall of man and how sin, how man enjoys sin. But as pastor, I feel for us to understand and to answer that question, will God heal America? Then we have to understand more about the passage and the context in which we read. And so if you remember last week, we talked about how God had put in my path Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, where it says that our God is a consuming fire, or that He utterly envelops and completely overcomes anything else that's around us. That it, like a fire consumes, the more wood you put in it, the more wood it'll burn. That's the way our God is and the way His power is. And then when we come to this passage and we begin to read about God healing the nation if His people do what He instructs, before that we've got to recognize that this is King Solomon, and he is dedicating a temple. And we see what happens, and we talked about last Sunday that before we can ever turn back, we must have individuals at one time or another turn to God. We have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe many today are being fooled into thinking that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They know just enough about baptism. They know just enough about working in the church and all that. But we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, reading on through verse 5, we see that after Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple, which is gold and fine and no money has been spared, that after Solomon prays, that a fire comes down from heaven, and not only does it consume the altar where 20 or more thousand cows were at, and 100,000 sheep were there, that the fire came down and it consumed what was on the brazen altar outside. But not only that, it looked like the whole fire just consumed the whole building so much that people could not even enter it. And as we thought about that fire, we see there in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7, we're reminded how throughout the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, that God is seen as a fire. We see in the Abrahamic covenant, He is the torch that goes between. In the Moses and the burning bush, He is the fire that does not consume, which makes the place holy. With Elisha and the prophets of Baal, He is the fire that falls from heaven and consumes the wet offering that's there. And then not only that, but when we take it and we move it from the old covenant into the new covenant, we still see the presence of God is classified or identified by the pitcher of fire. Luke chapter 3 verses 16 and following, it says, "And John said, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming is more powerful than I, and I'm not even worthy enough to unbuckle his shoes. But he will come and he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire." And specifically, as we look through the Old New Testament, we see more pictures of God's presence being identified by the fire. Just like we see the presence of God or the fire of God fall there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We also view it over there when we see about the 10 virgins and 5 had oil in their lamp and the other 5 didn't. Why would you need oil in your lamp? So you could have a fire that's burning when the bridegroom comes. Also, you remember when at Pentecost they had cloven tongues as a fire upon their head. You see, when the new covenant, the fire or the presence of God in our life is not some building, it's not some place, but it is the very breath of God Himself. The Spirit of living God lives within us and abides within us. We've been set apart. The Bible teaches us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 20. It says, "Don't you know that your body is not your own, but that you have been bought with a price and you are a temple of the Spirit of God," or the fire of God dwells in you. We've been set apart. Just as the temple was set apart as the place of God's presence and God's power today, He no longer abides in buildings and the heavens that can't contain Him. In John chapter 17, it says, "They are not of this world, as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world, I also sent them to the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they may also be sanctified by truth." In the Old Testament, we see the nation of Israel. That was not a nation. That was a man whose father was some type of priest when we look at Abraham. And he set out going to a place that he didn't even know he was going. And from there, God has made the 9 mighty nation of Israel. That's the old covenant. In the new covenant, whosoever we were who are not a people, Gentiles, lost in our sins, we have been saved and set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He has also set us apart as His temple and the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The fiery presence of God that dwells within us and also seals us until the day that we're called home. Now think about Israel. Because remember, in Israel we have the physical representation of the old covenant that we see in the new covenant of Christ Jesus and in the church. You see, Israel, they were expected as God's children to eat different, to live different, to worship different, to love different, to act different. Why? Because they were God's. And the same is true today. Those of us, remember, what does He say? "If my people who bear my name," who is that today? That is us Christians. That is us Christians. If we who bear His name, we have been called apart. We have been set apart as different. As Israel was called to be holders of the flame in the Old Testament, we're called in the New Testament by the blood of Jesus to be carriers of the flame of Jesus Christ. The only reason that Solomon was talking about turning back to God was because he recognized that he was the nation of Israel's God and that Israel was God's nation. One must truly have had an eternal, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ before they can ever turn back. They've got to know it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 tells us that there's coming a day where men will stand before God and say, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we preach? Didn't we teach? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all kind of works? And Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I knew you not. Not just in America, but specifically our area, the Bible Belt, there's so many misconceptions, religious rites and traditions, so much grandma gospel and ghetto gospel that most people can talk themselves into heaven to themselves, if not anybody else. And people's dying and going to hell. I said last Sunday, I don't know if we need a revival or if we need an awakening, but praise God, I believe we need both. You see, if we look at that passage, we see that God is talking to His people. And for His nation, specifically Israel, for it to be made right, then His people had to ante up. They have to be willing to do something. On Wednesday night, we took a little closer look at Solomon's prayer. I mean, praise God. If Solomon prayed a prayer and fire came down from heaven, we would be stupid not to want to pray a prayer and see the fire of God fall from heaven. If we just happen to learn something from that and we can see the presence of God in a mighty way, we should study the prayers. But all of it basically is wrapped up. The idea that Solomon is praying is wrapped up there in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 38. Listen to what he says. He says, when they, who's they? The nation of Israel. As a whole, or the individual Israelite, God's person, when they pray in the direction of their land that you have given their ancestors and the city you have chosen toward the temple that I have built for your name. You see, he's saying, hey, this is the place where God has placed His name. This is the place where the Ark of the Covenant abides. This is the place where the fire of God fell. If we're going to meet with God, if we're going to have a relationship with God, then it's got to begin at this place. Because that's where He said He'd be at. Now, in the New Covenant, we don't pray towards a place. We don't have to turn to a direction or to a city, but we turn to the name above every name. John chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. And in that day ye shall ask nothing of me. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, He will give it to you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You see, in the prayer He was saying, hey, your people, I'm representing your people. And so when they turn to where you're supposed to be at, when they turn to the city, when they turn to the place, when they turn to the temple that you said your name would abide, then will you hear them? Well, praise God, in the new covenant, it's not turned toward the east, it's not turned toward the temple, but it's in the name of Jesus. If you'll turn toward the Son who was lifted up between the heavens and the earth for all of humanity's sins, if you'll turn to Him, then He'll be attentive and watching us. You see, today, yes, we're not the nation of Israel, but we worship the same God, and the same precepts of that God that we see in the Old Testament are still the same precepts in the New Testament. Amen, Brother Danny? Notice, the theme is I want them to turn back to you. They're going to need to turn back to God. So once again, the principles of God's, we see the covenant in both, we see the precept in both covenants. But listen to Solomon's prayer. And it consists of basically one thing. In verses 18 through 21, he talks about the vast grandeur of God, how that God is so great and so huge that the heavens of heavens could not contain Him. How in the world would this little temple contain Him? But then he moves on from that, and in verses 24 through 25, he prays that if Israel is defeated by an enemy because they've sinned against God. Verses 26 through 27, he says, if there be no rain and come a drought in Israel, why? Because they sinned against God. Verses 28 through 31, when famine and pestilence and mildew and locusts and grasshoppers come into our land, why? Because we've sinned against God. And then in verses 36 through 37, when God is angry with His people, when the enemy carries God's people out captive because of their sins. Notice it's on all different places. Sometimes they're in their own homeland. Other times they're carried away captive. Other times they're in the midst of battle. You see, that's what happens to sin. Sin carries us into places that we would have never expected to be in. Why are we in the battle? Why are we in this field? Why am I addicted to drugs? Why is my marriage falling apart? Why? Because of sin. And then he goes on to say in the midst of it, if in that sin, wherever they're at, if they come to their senses, like that, you remember how far it took the prodigal son? It took him all the way to eating slop and living with it. And I know many of us, we have sins and places in our life that we wouldn't want anybody else in this church to know at because of our sins. But you know what? God uses them to bring us to our senses. And He says, if you turn, praise God today, those of you that's out there, if today you come to your senses and you recognize that you're lost in your sin, just cry out to Jesus and He'll save you today. 2 Chronicles 6:37, when they came to their senses and in the land that you have deported them, they repent and petition you. And in verse 38 it says, and when they return to you with all their mind and all their heart, and in the land of their captivity. Oh, what's the whole point? What's the prayer? He's saying, Father God, when we sin, we know we're your people and we know that you're our God, but we are human beings and we're fallen and we're sinful. So when we sin, when we recognize it, if we turn to where you're supposed to be at, will you hear our prayer? You know what? God didn't answer him verbally that day. You remember what happened? That's when the fire fell. He prayed all that and he was saying, will you forgive us in whatever place we find ourselves? Will you forgive us if we turn to God's presence and God's power and to God's plan? God doesn't answer it, but we see that He does answer it by His fire falling. That's an acceptance. He was accepting them. He was, you're my flame bearers. You're mine. But then that's what brings us over to Chronicles 7:14. Because guess what? They have the party. Everything goes good. And notice what it seems to happen. It seems that once everything kind of dies down a little bit, in verse 12, look what it says. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple, as a place of sacrifice. Now, if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, we'll see that Jesus is now the acceptable sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. 13, if I shut up the sky and there is no rain, if I command the grasshoppers to consume the land, if I send pestilence on the people. Listen, it's the very thing, same things He's asked, right? You know what? The day that we get saved, what do? We say, Lord, I'm willing to give up my life for your life, and I'm willing to live your life through my life. Anything else is sin after that. Any type of life we live after that it's not for Christ, is a sinful life. And we're going to talk a little bit deeper about that in just a second. Look at it. So now let's read it in the light of the new covenant, as it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, within whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. New Testament Christian, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. I'm not going to stretch this out, but I know that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And I can see an equation when I see one. And here I see an equation and the product of. The equation and the product of. Notice what God says. God says, Christian brother, Christian sister, Israelite. God says, if you'll take yourself and humble yourself, add prayer to it, and then seek my face with it, turn from your wicked ways, guess what? I'll heal your nation. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Here's the deal. We don't have to worry about him. That's the best promise we ever gonna get. Politician, doctor, whatever. When he says, if I'll do this, if you'll do that, then we know that he's gonna do that because we have a God who cannot lie. You see, what we're seeing right here is God is saying to Solomon, yes, I'll take you back. Yes, I'll take you back. Sinner, lost person, if you've drifted away from God, Jesus says in 1 John 1:9, if you've sinned and you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But look what he says. He says, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll pray, if you'll seek my face and you'll turn from your wicked ways, then guess what? I'll restore the flame. The presence of God will be back. When you're at the place where it's time to turn back to me, I'll turn back, and that's in the name of Jesus. But I'm not going to hit on these too hard because you've heard these a lot. But if we want our fire to burn, the first thing we've got to make sure that we're doing to stoke our fire is to humble ourselves. Humility is to have an attitude of your lower status in relationship to another status. It's not pride or haughty. It's not arrogant or assertive. It's reflecting and expresses submission in the relationship. You remember we talked about how a dog or a cat will come up to you, and if it's one that wants to be your friend, one of the first thing they'll do is tuck their tail and then roll over on their back so they bear their vital organs to you. Why? They're submitting to you. With kings, you would have to go in there once a year as a serf, and you would have to bow down and kiss the king's hand in submission to the king. I think about us, and we're living in a time where we're allowing ourselves to become more isolated and more segregated. It's moved, and we're in a time of us and them more and more. Them are always wrong. Them are always the problem. Them are always destroying everything. While us are never wrong, us are not a problem but the solution, and us will only make things better. And if them would just listen to us, everything would be better off. That's the mentality of most people. What's wrong with America? Somebody else. Right? You know I love Spurgeon. And I've been posting some of his stuff. But listen to what he wrote this week. Or they posted. If any man thinks ill of you, if any man's mad at you, do not be angry with them. For you are far worse than they think you to be. If anybody doesn't like you, don't get mad with them. Because you're really worse than they think you are. Oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. I can look up the Washington and I can see all that, but many of them don't know Christ. I know Christ. I know what's right. I know people are dying and going to hell. And I worry about my comfort. I worry about my health. I worry about how I feel and everything else other than that when I never think about He's a two-time Savior. Praise God, He's my Creator. He breathed His breath into me and I rejected Him and walked away and He came and saved me from my sin. And I'm worried about us and them. No. I'm the problem. I'm the sinner. I don't even recognize the greatness of my Savior. And that's why our country is where it's at today. We can say we're Christian, we can go to church, and we can do all that. I'm going to tell you what. God has been so good to us, and Jesus has done so much for us. The name Jesus should be the first word off our lips and the last of our breath at night, praise God. He is Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who laid down His life and had the power to pick it back up. Think about that. We're worried about all this other stuff. And I ask you, how's the fire this week? I'll be honest with you, the fire's pitiful. Humble. When's the last time you were willing to be humiliated for your faith? I want you to come to the altar if you're not being led by the Spirit. But there's some in here today and listening that the worst thing in the world to you would be if God told you to go to the altar. We've got to be willing to be humiliated for Him. When's the last time you've laid down or you've stood with hands up introspectively and said, God, there's nothing good about me, but I'm fresh and anew, give it to You. And I mean what I said, that if You'll save me, I'll live my life for You in whatever You see fit. Humble ourselves. Maybe even right now, God, the Holy Spirit is leading you, and you need to come and you need to lay down on this altar. I know you can do it at home, but we're praying for a nation. Is it worth being humiliated for God to get the glory and for our nation to turn back to God? Being humble is harder than it thinks. You see, it means that we've got to let go of our anger. We've got to let go of our resentment. We've got to let go of our own goals. We've got to let go of our emotions, how we're feeling, and come before God and say, You are God and I am not. Every breath I breathe is because it's on loan from You, and every step I take is by Your grace and Your mercy. Hey, what if just us in here got serious about coming into the presence of the Creator with a humble attitude? Don't y'all think we might be like Moses when Moses came down off of the mountain? And they couldn't look on Him. You know why? Because He'd been in the presence of God. You know what? If we'll humble ourselves, the Bible says He'll lift us up into heavenly places. If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves, recognize and submit. I submitted when I got saved, yeah, but we die daily. We must die daily. The problem is that a lot of Christians, we were on fire before and we followed God's will, but we stopped dying to self daily. We've got into this routine that suits us, and you know what? We're good moral people and it looks good, so we don't even ask God about, do You want me to teach? Do You want me to witness? Do You want me to do that? We just go along with the motions. Yeah, got my ticket to heaven. We don't ask God, what do I need to do today? Where do I need to go today? Who do I need to talk to today? No, we just got in our motions. Then He says, I'll pray if you'll pray. I sound like an old CD with a scratch on it. Pray, 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 pray. Y'all remember how that thing does? That's how I feel. But it's to ask or plead. Really, it's just to have a conversation with the Lord. But let me ask you about your prayer times. Number one, are you even having it right now? I pray you are, because see, weekly church attendance is kind of like that hitching post, and it kind of helps you know where you're going to after you leave that place. You know what I mean? The church, He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see that day. What day? That day. Judgment day. As you see it approaching. Is your prayer time, let me just ask you this, is your prayer time more of a list of this is what I need, this is what I don't need, keep me from the COVID and the cancer, and bless this meal, amen? Or is it, Father God, You are holy. You are high and lifted up, and I am but a speck of dirt. But in Your grace and Your mercy, You sent Your Son. And it's by Him and Him alone that I come before Your throne. And I'm reminded of the love that You have. And the power that You... Can't you see? You could get lost right there, couldn't you? You could feel the presence of God in this place. Why? Because you see, we're humbled. It's not about us. We are dirt. And what are we doing? We're praying. We're looking for Him. We're wanting to have a conversation. And then it says, if you'll seek My face... Basically, it means to find awareness of. If I'm out and about and me and Brother Paul's out and about, and I see Danny, and Brother Paul's never seen Danny before, but me and Brother Paul's walking beside each other, and I see Danny, I recognize his face, I say, "Hey Danny, how you doing?" And Danny hollers back to me. You know what he's going to expect, because I know Danny by face? Brother Paul's going to expect that I have some information and knowledge about Danny that he does not have. You see what I'm saying? And so when he says, "Humble yourself, pray, and seek my face." Seek to know God. Now, we know this. The Bible says that no man seeks God of their own accord. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God." Jesus said, John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." So again, we have that picture. You can't turn back until you turn to. There has to be that time that the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, brought conviction in your life, and you heard the call of Jesus Christ. And this is what He's saying back. "Now, when you drift away, if you move away, I will take you back. I will welcome you back. If you'll just humble yourself, quit being haughty, quit thinking you got the right answers and everybody else has got the wrong answers. You put yourself on the lower scale and let me be God in your life." He says, if you'll pray, meaning that if you'll want to have a conversation with me, that there be some dialogue. And he says, if you'll seek my face, meaning that you want to know me and who I am. You see, he's talking about getting serious about our relationship with him. I just want to challenge you right now. Again, I ask you, how's the flame burning? Look at your prayer time. Look at your Bible study time. I ain't going to bring up church attendance right now because I'm going to give you a pass. You see, the devil's done got our focus on everything but Jesus. And that's what he's meant to do. Seek my face, meaning will you get down to business? Are you ready to quit playing games? Because see, the problem is, as human beings, we like sin. We enjoy sin. And notice, he says, "Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways." That's the last one. Turn from your wicked ways. Between verses 22 and 40, the word sin and wicked is used 10 times. Verse 36, "When they sin against you, for there is none that does not sin." They turn to the temple, look for God's presence, and what? The temple was a place of sacrifice. The temple was the place that sin had to be dealt with before they could meet with the presence of God. And you know what? Before we see revival, before there's an awakening, before America comes back to the Lord, then us, Christians, you and I, we've got to realize that we're just as guilty as the drug addict and drunkard on the street with sin in our life. You say, "Brian, I don't get it." Now, you know, I could go on right now about the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not have any other gods. You shall make no idols. Not use the Lord's name in vain. You remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not bear false witness or tell lies. And you shall not covet." Or I could spend some time on Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, where Jesus was asked, "Which is the most important of the commands?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being, with all of who you are, and then love your neighbor as yourself." All of those are instructions. But I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. "Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live to do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin." I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe today it's what the people in the pews are doing. I believe most professing Christians in America are what we would call God-fearing, salt-of-the-earth, moral Christians. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe it's what we're not doing. I believe it is the sin of omission instead of the sin of commission. You let me ask you, which one is worse? Which one is a bigger sin in God's eyes? If I'm out gossiping and I'm out with unforgiveness in my heart and I've got addiction to pornography, or is it worse that I don't respond when God calls me to teach Sunday school? I don't react when He tells me to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. I don't put Him first and seek His will every day in my life. You see, church, we'll put down the drug addict. We'll put down the homosexual. But God's calling you and I, those that bear His name, to step up and do something. And we're saying, I'm comfortable in my house in front of my screen. I'm comfortable in my pew not doing anything. I'm not going to seek God. I found a place that I'm comfortable. It looks good. And my ticket is punched into heaven. That's when He says, humble yourself. Don't you know? You've got to be revived. Before the nation can. I pray nobody listening right now is caught up in an adulterous relationship. I pray they're not addicted to drugs or alcohol. But I know some are listening that could be here this morning. God wanted them here. I know there's others listening that you need to be teaching. You need to be visiting. But we found a comfortable place. And it is us, church. Thomas Village is us. We have to humble ourselves. We're as dirty or dirtier than any other sinner. We've got to be willing to talk to Him. Let Him say what He needs to say without getting huffy-puffy saying, I ain't going back or I ain't paying my tithe. We need to say, Lord, show me a glimpse of Your glory at least once a day. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. Does that mean all the things we like to do, the vacations and the sports with kids and all that, they're not evil in and of themselves. But when we let them take precedence over our relationship with Christ, I don't matter, care what it is. It can be good, but not be of God. You see, it's time that we seek His face and find His path for us as individuals. And then in closing, we'll just say this. What does He say? He says, if you'll, those that bear My name, praise God, I bear His name proudly. Amen. Will humble themselves, will lower themselves so that He can be lifted up. And they'll seek His face. They'll want information about Him. And turn from their wicked ways. Turn from what they want to what He wants. Turn from my will to His will. Then what does He say He'll do? He says, I'm going to hear you. Right there we ought to just stand in awe and say that the Creator hears me. The creation, the lowly creation, the great and glamorous Creator chooses to hear me. The fleeting creation. But not only it says that will he hear me, but it says He'll forgive me. Meaning that no longer will they come up between me and Him. Today, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, I tell you today that He'll cast your sins as far from you as east is from the west. And He says, I'll never bring them up again. And then He says, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. Will God heal America? Unlike the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, we don't have boundaries, nor do we have a physical government. We basically have the church, the spiritual church. Matter of fact, by faith, I'm looking to New Jerusalem. When it's established, it will be my fulfillment of the promise, but it'll also be the fulfillment of the promise to the nation of Israel as well. But if he doesn't heal America, still it's the best way, and I'm going to serve him. I'm going to still do my best to live for him. Because I believe, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I serve the God of Peter, John, and Paul, and I say with them that I look for a city which has foundations, but whose builder and maker is God, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. I believe Jesus when he said over in John 14, verses 2 and following, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am ye may be also." You see, this is not my home. I have a new home, and it is outshines the sun. But I do believe even now that God wants to heal this home. I do. Why? Because I believe that God is love, and I believe that God wants to bring what's good for us. He wants to see. I believe above any other nation that America, one, has been most blessed by God, but also as called by God. And I believe if God's people, meaning that as the individuals, if we'll take the precept we find in 7:14, the humility, the prayer, the genuine diligence to seek Him out, because it may not happen overnight. You might have to pray for hours, days, and that we will turn from our wicked ways, meaning to turn from our ways to His ways. I do believe that we can see America come back again. But even if not, still will I serve Him. Like the three Hebrews boys said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar," when they was about to throw him in the fiery furnace, you remember? They said, "Our God can deliver us from your fiery furnace. But if not, we still will not bow." We'll still not bow a knee. Praise God. How many of you today would agree that America needs revival and an awakening? Amen. How many of you believe that God can and will bring it? Amen. How many of you believe? See, out of all this, this is 39 to 40 words. And like I said, it's been preached millions of times. It's a powerful, powerful truth, isn't it? But of the whole thing, the smallest word is yet the most powerful and the most pivotal. Because everything else, those that bear my name, all that, it's all good. But without the first one, if. If means because of or on account of. On account of my people praying. On account of my people humbling themselves. On account of my people seeking my face and turning from their ways, on account of that, then I'm hearing, I'm forgiven, and I'm healing. Here's the invitation right now. I know you can pray at home. I know you could be humble at home, but we're praying for our nation. Will you today come and humble yourself on this altar? I'm going to invite our piano player, our song director, to come. Maybe today you need to be saved. Maybe today you need to join the church. Maybe you are dealing with a sin. Pornography is running rampant. Almost, the addiction level is almost equal with women as it is with men. How's your relationship with your children? See, I believe this is, do I believe He can heal our nation? Yes, but I believe it's going to do like this. He's going to heal me first. He's going to send that fire in me, and then what? He's going to work in my house. And as He's working in my house, He's going to work with Brother Otis, and He's going to work with Brother Otis's house. And then that's going to cause the places where we live and we work at, they're going to be affected by it. And you know what? The old hand of God moving all around in America, you know what might just happen? Revival just might happen. But I tell you this, America's only hope is Jesus. America's only hope is prayer. Thomas Village, along with many others, the answer to if, the way you answer that, will affect America. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Thank You for this time together. I'm inviting You, Holy Spirit, to move on our hearts. I'm inviting You, Heavenly Father, to be heavy in this place. I'm inviting You, Jesus, to lift Yourself up. Holy Spirit, lift Him up so that we may find humble abode in Your presence. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Won't you stand? Some are already praying. Maybe you need to come. Grab your wife. Grab a friend by the hand. Bring them down here. Maybe you want to nail down your salvation. You don't have to believe me or our deacons or anybody else in this church. We'll show you what the Bible says about it. If the way you respond to that, the way you respond to 714, could make a big difference in the life and the future of our country. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, heal, forgive their sins. If nothing else today, it's worth calling out to Jesus for your personal sins to be forgiven. That's why He came. Remember, the temple was a place that you had to deal with sin. You can't come to Jesus and not deal with sin. But that's why He came. He came to get the sin out of the way, praise God. I don't know why we run from Him. He came to do away with it so that, sister, we could be close to Him. We're the one that holds it there. He's not going to whip you. You whipping yourself harder, and He'll whip you. Toting that old sin, won't you just give it to Him? And remember, could it be it's not the sins we're doing, but it's the lack of obedience? It's the will of God we're not doing. Whatever your need may be, again, I am so thankful that everybody, we did, to God be the glory, we went over 1,000 followers this week. That means 1,000 people willingly said they let us have part in their life. And you know what? I pray that everybody recognizes this, that the goal of Thomas Village, along with the pastor and everyone here, is that Jesus be glorified. If there's ever any question about who's the star around here, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. And if we ever get out of that, may He correct us sharply. We ever put Jesus second in any way. Amen? Anyone else this morning? Have you had fun? I've had fun. Maybe you didn't. Yes, my toes got stomped on. But it's good to be in God's house. This is the highlight of my week, Brother Gary. Does that say that's sad? Is that what y'all thinking? Man, he's sad, ain't it? All right. God bless you. I'm going to call Brother Otis if he would. I'm not going to shake hands today, but I love you. And it's good to be with you, okay? Brother Otis, if you would come and close us. Don't forget to pray for all those prayer needs that I listed. Awana tonight at 5, amen. And I'll probably go on between 5 and 6 with mine, with tonight's service.
Before I pray, I have a brother-in-law that's going to have surgery on Tuesday, hip for replacement. He's been in so much pain. They didn't want to operate, and he's going to go to Knoxville to get the surgery instead of here. But just remember him. His name is Charles Arney, and pray that he'll have a successful operation. Amen. Any other requests anybody want to give us? Needs in your family? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for this time together. We thank You for the word that our pastor has brought. We thank You, Lord, for the challenges that Your word has given us. We're challenged by the word. The word stings sometimes and it hurts. But it's true. Who we are and where we are. We just ask You to be with us as a church, that we would seek, pray, turn to You, Lord, not to ourselves. We just thank You for this time together that You've given us. We ask You to be with each one. Give us safety and mercies as we travel, and give us a good week, not because we're good, but because You're good. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you.